TalkZone.com.
Now, TalkZone presents the Youth Sports Fan Forum with your host, the coach, John Cone. This is the show that covers all topics relating to the wonderful world of sports our kids play. Here's your host for the Youth Sports Fan Forum, the coach, John Cone.
And welcome to the Youth Sports Fan Forum. Not only myself, but joined today by Double B, Brian Bauer. It's our regular Thursday edition of the Youth Sports Fan Forum. Of course, right before this show, Brian, we have a show we do each and every day called Two Guys and a Mic, kind of a loosely based sports talk show. And then we get about, and we kind of have a different personality on that show.
Do we?
And then we get about 2 minutes and 20 seconds to kind of morph into what is supposed to be a somewhat, you know, serious youth sports show.
Now, this is my first time on this show.
Yes.
It might take me more than the 2 minutes, 20 seconds to morph.
You know what? It's about my seventh time on the show, and it still takes me more than 2.5 minutes
to
morph.
Okay, so as long as we understand each other, then we're good.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. But this show we started a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
A couple of months ago, and it's, I don't know how many other shows are out there. Not many. But trying to dedicate the show to youth sports, not high school sports.
No.
Because there's a lot of high school sports out there.
So
websites and articles and magazines. I mean, high school sports.
You got your rivals.com. You've got every local paper now has a high school section. Yeah. High school getting televised now. Yeah. I know here in the city of Chicago, there's a weekly game of the week, which, of course, if it was weekly, it would be the game of the week. But either way, I mean, there's a lot more press being given to the high school region. Mm-hmm. How low are we going age-wise?
Well, we try to concentrate on this show as we advertise as the kindergarten through eighth grade youth sports. But you're laughing at kindergarten.
See, in my head, I'm actually picturing like people recruiting kindergartners. Like, hey, little Johnny, I'll give you six M&Ms. Yeah. You come to Illinois. Come on.
My name's
Ron Zook.
It hasn't gotten that bad yet. But what we found, Brian, is forget about kindergarten. It goes down youth sports to really age 3, 4, and 5. That's when it starts.
Are you kidding me?
Okay. And, you know, again, 1 hour. Once a week, and I know so many parents, and I don't know how many kids are listening. Hopefully they're in school right now, but you know, if you're playing hooky or, maybe some of the teachers slow time at school.
Yeah.
During a study hall, maybe they're pumping on the talkzone.com.
Right.
Little educational program, you know.
Right.
There's worse ways to kill time at school than to listen to the coach and Double B and a youth sports fan for.
Well, true that. And I've got some thoughts when it comes to youth sports.
Educational. Yeah. Matter of fact, if this keeps up, we may give an assignment to all the kids out there. We might give homework and have them report in next week.
You think so?
Yeah.
That's
a great way to improve
our ratings. If we get a couple of schools to actually sign up, I'm all about giving homework. Make them study up on sports. Maybe come up with a couple of things.
Teachers need to give more. We got too many teachers out there, by the way, if I could get sidetracked very quickly, who are, especially, Brian, the veteran teachers. Some of the ones that might be, they've announced their retirement in 2 years.
Yeah.
Or they're
ready to go.
Huh?
Ready to go.
They've been, teaching for 25 years. Good guys. Good girls. Good teachers. But they are definitely in the coast mode, and it's when it's your kids that have them for teacher, it's a little bit of concern. Again, quality teachers, they've had great careers.
Right.
But they're in the coast mode a little bit. A good example is my son's in finals right now. You remember taking finals in high school?
January?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember them coinciding before the break, before the winter break.
No,
but okay.
No. Yeah.
That's how our school operated. Okay, go on.
Yeah. What did your school get out in April?
June.
Yeah.
But it was before the winter break, and then you started the next right after the winter break.
Well, but typically halfway through the year, December's not halfway through.
I know, but one semester was always longer than the other.
Doesn't matter. So anyhow, for his final.
Yeah.
For his final, he's got to turn in a little poster board presentation.
Yeah.
That's what they bring in today, and then after everyone shows their poster board and presents it, they're going to watch Ferris Bueller's Day Off. For finals.
How old is he?
I'm like, huh?
How old is he?
Sophomore in high school.
Get out of here.
Yeah, and there's a lot of other teachers in this day and age of videos that they come home and we watch this. They watch Rocky. My son in junior high, they watch Rocky three consecutive days in one particular class.
Forget that. They should do 5 consecutive days.
Yeah.
Rocky 4 and 5 are classics.
I'm sure
but
there
four,
was some, educational.
When he was in Russia, I mean, that's a class. Oh, that's the one you can't get.
Well, maybe it was a social studies teacher passing that off.
When they're in Russia and all of them are yelling, Rocky, Rocky, Rocky. I love that one.
Anyhow, and I understand you're retiring in a couple years. It's been a long 25 years, but, enough with the movies. Teach the damn kids.
And let's put it in perspective. I mean, honestly, you're working.
I hate putting things in perspective.
I like to, because that way I like to laugh at it later.
So much easier to exaggerate.
3 months off during the summer, a week and a half off during winter, a little bit week break in spring.
Mm-hmm.
You have your time off. You have plenty of time to relax yourself. And I know it's easier for teachers because I have two cousins. One's a high school teacher, one's a college professor. The high school teacher said it. The first 3 years are your hardest because you have to put together your lesson plans. You have to get everything on. After that, once the lesson plan is done, you're using the same book year after year after year. Mm-hmm. She said that sometimes, honestly, it's like showing up without having to do any preparation whatsoever.
Well, that's if you want to go that route.
I'm just saying.
You would hope there are some dedicated teachers out there that are constantly, you know, going to clinics and talking to other teachers.
Sure.
And the administration is helping to inspire them and coming up with creative ideas. Maybe I'm being too idealistic, but I'm sure you're right. Many teachers.
And she did high school at, well, she did, but the school folded. She was at Driscoll. Now she's doing some work. She just had her kids, so she got some time off, but she's in Addison Trail. Mm-hmm. But again, that school was a little bit different. Now, my college professor cousin, like hers, the different,
because every year. College professor cousin.
Every year you could be teaching a different subject. I mean, okay. You could be in the English department, but one year it could be mythology, one year it could be poetry, could be this, could be that. So with her, she says every year is a grind.
Yeah.
Every semester is a grind.
See, that's a whole other issue I get into, and again, we're getting completely off of youth sports here.
I don't even know where we ever started.
We are going to get to it. Our phone number here, by the way, if you want to check in, any comments, any questions, any thoughts on the world of youth sports. We're going to get to a couple issues in our daily quandary in a second. 888-463-6748. Again, 888-463-6748. We're being webcast. Brian, say hi to the camera.
Hi, camera.
Actually, you don't have to say hi to the camera. You can just wait.
No. I just got an email from somebody who's listening and watching right now, Ronnie Wyeth. She's very, very happy listening to youth sports. Because she has her kids are at the age now that are doing those sports.
I appreciate it. What's her name, Rhonda?
Ronnie.
Ronnie
Wyeth.
Beautiful. Ronnie, we're glad to have you aboard our somewhat dysfunctional show here. And also, people can email us if they want questions, comments, so ysfanforum.com, ysfanforum.com, at AOL.com, sir.
Is there a Twitter for that one as well?
There is not.
No Twittering yet.
We
no?
have Twitter for our other show, Mike Two Guys. Don't confuse me.
I know. I hate doing this to you. I'm sorry.
This show is already dysfunctional enough. But
all right, let's talk sports.
We're talking about teachers. A couple of issues here. One of my complaints about college professors.
Yes.
Is you pay, and I think we brought this up on our other show with another host, but you know, mom or dad, or if the kid's pitching in, you're paying, what, $15,000, $20,000, $25,000, $30,000, sometimes $40,000 for a college education.
Yes.
It's unbelievable. In the first 2 years you go to school, very often the teacher or the quote-unquote professor that you have is, in fact, very similar to the person that you just described, someone who has no expertise in the class.
No, you.
They've just been assigned that class. Sure. They read a book, they read a syllabus, and they're teaching the class. Maybe it's a teaching assistant.
Or a student teacher. Student teacher is big. Yeah.
You know, I'm all for the student teacher in public education, but if I'm paying $30,000 for my son to go to school, I don't want some guy coming in as a student teacher. It should be a well-paid professor.
No, I'm with you. But, I mean, I guess your argument against is, well, how are they going to get the experience they need if they never get to do it? My big thing is, and I started, after we had this argument, we talked about this last time, and I was originally in agreement with you. If you're going to pay that much money, I want the expertise from the person who's done it, who's been there before, who's taught it for a while. However, I had more student teachers in high school than I ever did in college. In college, I only remember one or two sneaking in here and there. Most of the time, it was...
They're called grad assistants in college.
Well, even at grad assistants, I only had a couple.
Okay.
And one of them was an editing class. Quite frankly, a monkey could have taught me that one.
Editing. It was an actual class for
video
that?
Editing. One semester of video... David, come on, tell me you didn't take video editing. No, radio editing? There you go. And trust me, video editing, not much different.
Believe me, if David radio edits this show, this one-hour show might be about a minute and 25 seconds.
I would, too. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, again, I hear your argument, but knowing my cousin, who is just in her infancy as far as teaching in the college level, I think she's just 4 years in now.
Mm-hmm.
She's never had a student teacher. She just deals with it herself.
Right.
And she's in the portions of just learning and putting together lesson plans. She's not even there yet.
All right, now I've taken a shot at the educational system. Now I'm going to reverse.
Which is usually my job, which is kind of strange.
Yeah, but now I'm going to reverse the curse because you took a little bit of a shot at the teaching profession talking about it. It's not 3 months off, by the way. It's a couple of months, two.
Mid-June
to be perfectly
to late August.
They go back to school in mid-August now.
Do that. All right. Well, before we go on,
I understand you get
I'll
a couple
let you get
of
your
months
point
off.
In. Hold on. I'll let you get your point in. But mid-June to late to mid-August.
2 months.
That's 2 months. You still get the week off in spring and the week off in winter.
Two weeks
Christmas in winter.
Christmas break, 2 weeks.
Okay. Now, put that in perspective with every other job in America. I got a friend of mine who's a teacher and a coach at Niles North and Niles West. He coaches volleyball.
Yeah.
When he starts to complain about his hours, working 8 to 3 something, then coaching for a couple hours later, I remind him that most of us in America get 10 days off for the full year.
Yeah. Point well taken. So however, if I could speak on behalf of the teachers across America.
Yes.
I'm not sure they wanted me speaking
probably
on their
not.
Behalf, but I will speak on behalf. And I've taught myself, Brian, so I'm speaking a little bit from experience in all the different jobs I've had.
Yes.
The hardest was teaching. And part of the reason is, first of all, dealing with kids are tough.
Oh, listen, I wouldn't want to dealt with me growing up.
Exactly.
I know exactly how I was. I give him credit for doing it.
So and the other part of every other job, you can relax at times, you can rest. You can have your downtime a little bit. You have a rough night the night before. You can kind of coast the day. In teaching,
yes.
When the kids are upon you,
yes.
There's no hangover.
Well,
there's no headache. You have to react. You are on the spot. You are up front. So from that sense, you have to be on a lot more. So I fully respect all of our teachers and our coaches out there.
I think for the full 8 hour day that they work, you know, when they're in class, they're there.
Yeah.
There's no place to hide because you're in front of 30, 20, whatever amount of kids who are all somewhat attentive on you. But again, during the course of a day, sometimes they have off breaks. They have study halls. They have where you really are just sitting there monitoring. And I see what you're saying. I understand the concept.
Yep.
I'm not saying it's a job I would want. I think they're grossly underpaid. I think what they have to deal with, I could not do personally. I give them credit, but I could not do it personally. So I give them credit in that aspect.
Okay.
However, the ones at Coast, the ones who put together the lesson plan and honestly check out the minute they walk in, go through the same spiel every single day and go home, those are the ones I'm bothered by.
And translate that into a coaching, that's also.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you could say coaching, you know, practice from 3:30 to 5:30.
No.
We fully respect all our coaches out there. We know how much extra time that most of them put in.
Right.
If you figure out the pay scale for coaches and break it down.
For a high school?
Per hourly pay?
Oh, I know.
For high school coach, they're probably getting about $3 an hour. So I fully respect all the coaches out there. Having said that, I have discovered over the last couple of years with my kid, and I coach myself, so I know how tough coaching can be sometimes. Fun, great, but, you know, it can be laborious. But there are two professions I've found, not professions, two hobbies, if you will, like coaching, that I've found even more dedicated than coaches, and they are marching band directors and Boy Scout troop leaders. Marching band directors, I have found for my kid in the marching band that.
Your kid's in the marching band?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Well, first of all, there's the marching band, but then they've got like 16 different offshoots of different bands.
Really?
And trying to control all the
like
people.
Like the
jazz
band, the marching band, the chorus,
concert,
the choir.
Band,
all kinds of
stuff.
I'm with you.
Right. So the marching band director, I've gained utmost respect for and.
Because usually there's only one music teacher in the whole school, and they're handling most of this.
Yeah, they've got assistants, but tough job.
Yeah.
Tough job. And the Boy Scout leaders. My son's also in Boy Scout. Now, coaching, you know, you get the kids for a couple hours a day.
Yeah.
Maybe in a tournament, you know, you're with them for 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah.
The Boy Scout leaders. I mean, they'll go on a weekend. Take it a Saturday and a Sunday, and I've avoided going into campouts.
Good for you.
Huh?
Good for you.
But
it's
they
a
spend
nightmare.
A ton of time with the kids. I have the utmost respect for the Boy Scout leader, a very, very dedicated profession.
Before I start my diatribe on this, I got to ask David.
You have an issue?
Were you a Boy Scout, or are you familiar with the Boy Scouts? Have you been part of
it? No, I was a Boy Scout.
You're not a current Boy Scout leader, right?
No, I'm not.
Okay, I just want to make sure I say that before I go on. I worked in a previous job with the
Chicago... Feel free to go to a break now if you want to.
No, I worked in a previous job with the Chicago Storm. I started off as their PR and media director.
Indoor soccer team.
Indoor soccer
professional.
Team. And I moved my way up to vice president of the company.
Okay.
In doing so, we did a large...
Was that before the company folded or
right
after?
Before the company folded, baby. 1 year. Actually, the league folded. Company was still around, actually, doing some other work. But the one thing I had a problem with is I found the Boy Scout leaders to be a little over the top.
Yeah.
Is that the word I could use properly?
I think what you're saying is some of them take their job just a little bit too serious.
When you say, like, I couldn't do it, I'm amazed that they do it. It's amazing the zeal they use doing it. I went to a couple of roundtable meetings to pitch the Chicago Storm things, and I got to be honest with you, the way the men wear the uniforms with the high socks and the short shorts, it's something to behold.
At times they can get just a little bit too into the
borders
job.
On creepy. That's all I'm going with. All right, I'm done.
All right, We have basically discussed nothing to do with youth sports right now. We've kind of pandered around the center. We're going to take a quick break, regroup, Double B and the coach with you up until 12 o'clock Central Time.
Right.
Don't forget this show via the internet, Brian.
Yes.
Is being cast out.
Right there. TalkZone.com.
We are being heard in 7 different continents and also parts of Glen Ellyn and Naperville.
Really?
Which many call the 8th continent.
Oh, Glen Ellyn. I've been around it. Strange.
You ever been to the Taste of Glen Ellyn?
No. Do they have one?
Yeah, they do. It's like one table, one stand.
Nice.
Pretty good, though. All right, we'll take a quick break. David Olson, our producer on this show, will talk some youth sports, believe it or not, when we come back.
Radio and the internet.
TalkZone.com. Internet Talk Radio. Let's return to more of the Youth Sports Fan Forum on TalkZone.com. Once again, here's your host, the coach, John Cohn.
And we do welcome you back to the Youth Sports Fan Forum on the TalkZone.com. It's Double B and the coach with you right up until 12 o'clock. We've had different hosts on the Youth Sports Fan Forum. This is a first-time venture for you.
It is, and I wish I'd been, you know, somewhat warned that I was going to be on the Youth Sports Forum, but I'm interested in it.
Yes.
It's something that anybody growing up in sports, coaching sports, has been a part of. There's a lot to talk about.
It's our pre-production for this show lasted about 2 minutes between shows.
Yes.
Sorry to surprise you with
considering
that.
I was still sitting here when you're like, hey, you want to stick around? We got another show. Hey, why not?
All right. You can email us at ysfanforum.com. Couple of things. I know an issue you want to bring up. And again, our listeners out there, any items, and we don't want the show to be too sterile. I want to keep we want to talk youth sports, but keep it loose.
Yeah.
Have some fun with it. Talk about the different issues in youth sports. 888-463-6748. Our daily quandary for the day is, everybody look back either in their playing career as a kid.
Right.
Or as a coach. Is there one team you coached that is kind of special to your heart? Maybe they, you know, an underdog team that came out of nowhere and won. Maybe a team that lost a lot that had a lot of great spirit. Could be a soccer team, a baseball team, swimming team, but that one team. That one team that touched your soul a little bit, that touched your heart, that when you sit back and remember, that's one of the teams that you have the most fun memories of. If you can relate some of that to us, that's our daily quandary today. And again, 888-463-6748, YSFanForum at AOL.com. I don't know if there's a team back in your storied career, Brian, back in your young days, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth grade, that particularly caught your fancy.
Well, you have teams that you loved being a part of. I am not a big basketball guy. I never was. I was always a taller kid, you know, so, but I wanted to always keep playing sports to keep in shape so that I was ready for the sports that I did like. So in junior high, seventh and eighth grade year, I was part of the Gulf Junior High Cardinals based out of Morton Grove. Just the coach, and I'm going to forget his name completely now, but he was probably the best coach I've ever had in my life. He went on to coach Niles North High School as well, sophomores and juniors by the time I had left, but he was one of those guys who made it fun, taught you all the rules of the game, stuff I had never even heard of before and not seen in the pros. And he basically opened up a lot of avenues as far as basketball, where it became a lot more enjoyable for me. It wasn't just me trying to make the team and trying to be a starter. It was me actually enjoying every day going to practice. So that one I hold fondly. I grew up on a team called Real FC. It was a
Real who?
It was just a local children's-based kids soccer team. Played there from the time I was 5 to about 14.
One of these highly competitive travel soccer teams?
Traveled all over the place, played all over the state. We even did some stuff up in Milwaukee and Iowa. We traveled competition-wise. But that's one of those where you start with a group of kids all your own age, and the majority of them stay for the full 10 years. So you get these friends that just, I mean, not only the team itself, the team was great, but not only do you get that, but you get friendships that last a long, long time.
That's pretty rare, by the way, sticking with a club. And back in your day, the travel teams were just kind of beginning.
It was
when I was, you know, a kid, there was nothing.
No, Real C, we were a local travel club. But I mean, our version of travel at the time was, oh, you're going up to, you know, up north to Waukegan or up north to Zion. So it wasn't like major travel, but for us it
was
huge.
Big,
we thought we were big time.
Yeah.
You know, some parents dropping us off, we're like, hey, we're here.
The kids today, big deal. You know, over here, Lombard, you know, Waukegan, half an hour away. Who cares? You know, when are we going to Detroit?
Right.
Any tournaments in Canada coming up?
Right.
You know, it's gotten completely ridiculous.
Exactly.
But Yeah, in this day and age, it's rare where someone, kids that are into sports, and their parents certainly are, join a travel team in a particular sport and stick with that team for 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years like you did.
Exactly.
Now there's so much competition between the clubs. You know, there's recruiting, sadly enough, where you're jumping from one club to another.
Yeah.
One team coaches will switch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might be happy with one club, and then your coach switches to another club. Well, do you stay with that club? Do you have your allegiance with the coach? It pulls kids in different directions. Not a particularly healthy situation.
No.
Yeah.
No, I've got, from the time when I was with the Storm, we did a lot with local soccer clubs. And what I did find is if a guy is not only a good coach, but he's a good recruiter, clubs will buy them away. They'll actually hire him at a higher rate than the club he's playing for or coaching for at the time. It's an unbelievable cutthroat system now, because I heard somewhere that for a year to play, I think it's somewhere in the neighborhood for one of these elite teams, and not even to be guaranteed to be on the elite team, just to be on one of their teams, it's $2,500 for a year.
I was going to guess $2,000.
Now, this is soccer. Your equipment is shin guards, shorts, and a shirt, and that's all they provide you with, and socks. So their overhead cost on this is whatever field they're renting and coaching. That is it.
Maybe they're paying for ice time.
On soccer?
That's always a good
excuse.
When
that becomes a winter Olympic sport.
Why is it so expensive? We're paying for ice time.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
But you're coaching basketball.
So,
oh, yeah.
So when you hear that some of these kids are playing in these elite travel teams, the amount of cost to the parents, especially if they have multiple children, I mean, you could talk $5,000-$7,500 grand.
Hey,
it's ridiculous.
We've over the 8 weeks we've been doing this show, we've dealt with different issues, and the finances in youth sports is absolutely a concern. It's an issue. It is a big part of youth sports, no question about it. And again, 888-463-6748. Each week we throw out a daily quandary. This week it is look back in your past from coaching or as a participant, a favorite team that you played on in youth sports, a real fun team, that you won, that you had good memories for. I've coached a ton, Brian, but I still look back at one of my kids' teams, second grade soccer.
Third grade. So we're talking 7 or 8 year olds.
The Junkyard Dogs. House league soccer, not travel team. We got the name because my assistant coach was a very, jovial personality. And he actually got the kids together, you know, instead of hands in the middle.
Yes.
He would have the kids barking. And he was the lead barker.
And how old? These are 7 or 8 year olds.
Third grade kids, you know, but the dad was great.
Right.
He was great. It was all in good fun. He was just a little bit off his rocker. But,
I like that.
The Junkyard Dog, and we were awesome.
Right.
Played a spring and a fall season. I think we were undefeated both seasons, and we fed on the whole Junkyard Dogs thing. I think we had pink shirts too.
Whoa.
You know, Junkyard Dogs with pink shirts. But, that's one of those teams. There was no championships to be won. There was no trophies handed out, but a successful team that I look back on, just a lot of fun.
And you probably won a lot because the kids were already loose when you started.
That's part of it.
Because there was none of that tension of, okay, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. Get in here and start growling. So that's funny.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe the coach had a great idea. At that age, stop making it so hard on the kid. Stop making it like you're going to win the championship every single game. And let them get loosened up before they start.
At the end of the game, Dave, other parents, other teams were going over for their post-game snack, apples and oranges, crackers, cookies. We fed them milk bones.
Nice.
Yeah.
Have you ever
and
tried
they had to get down on all fours. We went the whole Junkyard Dog thing.
Have you ever tried a dog treat, by the way?
Not bad.
Not
if
good.
You're really hungry.
No, not good.
I found them, I found them if you dip them in a ketchup mustard combo.
Oh, nice.
A little swirl, if you will.
Yeah.
Not bad. It kind of kills the bite a little bit.
I have a husky at home that we adopted. And basically my wife, for what she thinks is the dog's birthday, bought a dog cake, which is like literally like the size of my hand.
Dog cake for the dog's birthday.
Right, that's what I said too.
Okay.
But when we opened it, it's up, it smelled like gingerbread.
Uh-oh.
So I'm watching the dog eat it, and I'm like, it smells good. I'm like, maybe I'll take a little hunk out of this thing. So I took a little bite of this, and it may smell like gingerbread.
Yeah.
But see this foam that surrounds us in this room? That's kind of what it tasted like.
All right. There are a couple of teams out there for you. Again, if any of our listeners want to chime in, we'd like to hear teams of a particular fancy to you. Again, you can email us at ysfanforum.com. And, of course, we're just picking out a couple of teams of many. Hopefully, when you participate or coach in youth sports, there's, I'm sure, along the way, some negative moments, negative memories. But you would hope, Brian, in the large majority, that it's fun, it's a learning experience, and that you have positive memories. And I think that's true for most people.
Right. The only problem I have with youth sports, and you touched on this earlier about the no championship game, no keeping score, I loathe that. I mean, because the one problem I have with it, I started to realize that it's not for the kids, it's for the parents, mm-hmm. because they go insane about winning and losing. But my thinking is every kid out there knows what the score is. A buddy of mine has a kid who plays for the, it might actually be Glen Ellen. He plays football for him.
Uh-huh.
They don't keep score. But afterwards I go, Johnny, what was the score? Well, we won 41-22.
What age?
He is now 7, I want to say.
Maybe 7.
Maybe 6.
Yeah. He's and playing really tackle football?
No, it's flag. Next year they start tackle, which is kind of ridiculous.
You know what, at age 6 and 7, I don't think there's... That's okay not to keep score. I mean, well, when you get to 5th and 6th grade, absolutely.
But here's the thing. I asked 3 other kids out there. They all came up with the same score. So who are you really fooling? I mean, you know, where's the point of this? Like, the one thing I learned a lot about when I was mm-hmm. a kid, and trust me, going to Niles North High School, I did learn a lot about losing. The one thing I learned is how to lose, the uh-huh. etiquette of losing. How that feeling is, so the next time you play, you don't want that feeling and you use it as motivation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when I see that the whole we're not keeping score, and I see it a lot in youth soccer, I see it a lot in youth football and softball, then really what is the point? I mean, that's pretty much rec then. Just throw it out, throw the ball out there, let them kick it around and call it what mm-hmm. it is.
Well, first of all, I think you sort of answered your own question. Any of our listeners out there, topic Brian is throwing out is many of the youth leagues, not so much travel, but your house leagues that decide at a certain age, and there's many of them, that don't keep standings, don't hand out trophies at the end, don't have playoffs at the end. Your thought, positive, negative, or somewhere in the vast in between on that 888-463-6748. But you sort of answered your own question a little bit because you said that, you know, the kids know the score anyways.
Right.
So I think what administrators are doing when they make that rule, they're not eliminating scoring. They're not eliminating the winning and losing. I think what it is de-emphasizing. They know the kids and the coaches are going to have an idea. But what it does, instead of having a scoreboard out there and going on the internet and having standings posted, it just de-emphasizes the winning. It doesn't totally eliminate. They know. Everyone's smart enough to know, even at age 6 or 7.
Right.
As you just alluded to. They know who wins the game. But it just, it tones it down a little bit.
Yeah, see, to me, it just bothers me more than anything else.
At age 6 or 7?
At every age. See, here's the thing. I come from a competitive family. Like, when we played basketball in the backyard, it would be my uncles, my father, my cousin, and I, and it was no blood, no foul basketball. I mean, you really took each other out.
Dave, Brian's family was so competitive. 2 parents, 3 kids, 5 people, only 4 seats at the dinner table.
That's right. First come, first serve.
I mean, it was a battle each and every night.
I'm just saying. And my dad would come to every one of my games.
Obviously, looking at you, you apparently won that battle
every
more often than not.
Every single one, my friend. Ah, early in, early out. Get everything fresh.
You're looking good, by the way. You've lost some pounds.
I'm working on it.
The holidays were good for
this. I'm going to the gym right after.
Now that we're webcasting, I almost
feel like I have to.
Absolutely.
So anyway, but, you know, I remember the games going on. My coach doing the yelling, but I always remember my dad's, you know, mouth in my ear as well. And I just couldn't see, you take out the scoring aspect, the actual, you know, the thrill of, okay, we're tied 1-1, I got to do this and this. I mean, some of the best moments in sports are because of that. You know, we don't want this to end in a tie, everybody bust your tail, da-da-da-da-da. You know, everybody doing that mad rush in the last minute of the game trying to get something done. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, I think the score is a big element of sports, and when you take that out, you might as well just take out the competition altogether.
Well, clearly. I don't think
gym class. Everybody go out there, have a good time. Nobody cares what the score is.
I understand what you're saying. I think most people do, and you're absolutely right. Winning and losing and the close finishes like that, that's part of the excitement of sport. I don't think the two things are in contrast necessarily.
Well, if you take one out, you don't get that other one till way later in life.
Again,
that's basically where I'm coming at.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with you, but maybe the age level is different. At what age do you start it? Again, 6 and 7-year-old kids.
3.
Huh?
3. I'm
keep
starting
score?
At like 4.
Well, yeah.
Well, seriously, I played in a league that started at 4 or 5. We were like mini
soccer?
Pee-wee. Yeah.
Okay.
All right? And literally at that age, you just throw the ball out there and like, instead of everybody playing a position, 22 kids run at the ball and just kind of moves around in a big circle.
Yeah.
But we knew what the score was all the time. Like, we knew when we were winning or losing
right.
all the time.
So again, you're answering your own argument.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, they kept score.
They kept score the whole time. You know, so mm-hmm. to me, it's a big part of growing up in sports mm-hmm. is I don't think you really grow up in sports till you try to teach the lesson of losing. I think mm-hmm. I remember the car ride with my dad, you know, when you lose the big game, playoff game, whatever it was. I think I was 5 years old. We lost the championship, the Pee Wee Chicago championship. I was despondent. I thought life had died. you know, your dad sits down and tells you about all his, mm-hmm. you know, things that had worked for him that didn't, the losses he had. And it just kind of puts things in perspective and you move on.
And you're 5 years old at the time.
5 years old.
Well, first of all, I would say there shouldn't be, I don't know what you call it, the Pee Wee Chicago Championship.
I still have the trophy.
There should not be. I feel strongly about this. There's absolutely no need at all.
Why not?
Except to have adults cure or solve some kind of competitive streak that they have. No
Why
reason
not?
At all. No
kids
reason.
Feel good
Let
when they
finish.
Win a championship.
Hold on
Go
a second.
On.
For 5, 6, 7, 8 year olds to be competing in a city championship.
Why not?
There's no need for that.
Why not?
Why?
Because
the kids are perfect. They're 6 years
well,
old.
What do you think is a
They're perfectly happy playing their youth. They don't need to go across town and play at a 8-team tournament for some tournament championship.
What's better, having a championship or giving every kid a trophy and making him think like he's a star? Is that a better idea? Because there's a lot of kids nowadays who get this weird thought in their head that they're great athletes.
No.
And then when they're going to hit the schools when they actually are competitive at that age, it's going to be a huge shock to their system that they suck. And they have all these trophies on the wall.
It's a participation award. I know people make fun of them.
I hate those.
But in a perfect world, in an optimistic sense, you know, I'm a glass half full guy.
Right,
what they're doing, what they're doing at the end of a season, hopefully you've worked hard in practice. You've competed hard in a game. It's been an 8, 9, 10 week season. You are getting a memento of that effort that you put in during the year. Your team didn't win the championship. You can still be proud of the effort you put into. I'm all about the participation patch.
14th place participation, Pee Wee Raiders. Congratulations. But I mean, I think, honestly, that whole trophy thing and telling every kid that they're great and nobody's a loser, da, 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 I think that's what's going into the self-entitlement of these kids who are coming into college now and are coming out of college and don't have a work.
Boy, you sound like an old man.
I seriously, it's weird that you and I have
days.
But I'm just telling you, I think it's all direct correlation. Sometimes somebody has to be told that they have to work harder. Sometimes somebody has to win a championship and someone has to lose a championship.
But they don't have to feel bad about it.
I think you almost do. I don't think you have to feel like you lost it for your team. I think that's a different subject altogether. I think if a kid loses a game, it was his mistake, I think you put it on the team, not the kid. However, I do think that you have to say to yourself, you know what? This is a feeling. This is what it feels like to lose. I mean, there's so many more lessons I think you could be taught losing than there are when winning a game.
All right. 888, lots of issues on the board. 888-463-6748. Your conduit to scintillating youth sports conversation. Feel free to lose the laugh track there, David, on the TalkZone.com. And again, you can email us at YSFanForum.com. I will agree with you, by the way, in the keeping score, even though you don't keep score.
Right.
I've coached for many years in the AYSO House League Soccer.
Do they keep any score?
No standings.
Ugh.
No scoreboard.
Right.
Okay. And I've coached it in first and second grade.
Right.
All the way up to eighth grade now. And I can tell you this as a coach, and I think I can say the same thing about the players. And it's interesting here because, again, no standings.
Right.
After the game's over, you walk away. There's no playoffs at the end of the season. I competed as a coach every bit as hard in those games as I did in any league where you kept score. And so I guess what I'm saying is the fact that there was no scoreboard and no standings, when the game was going on, to me, and I don't think for most of the players, it didn't affect one bit the competitive level of the kids. We knew the score of the game.
Right.
We wanted to win that game. The fact that there were no standings, no playoffs down the road, did not affect the competitive intensity of the game.
So you're saying that the only thing the no score does is lessen the level of the loss, because technically there is none.
It de-emphasizes the competition. That sounds bad.
But it's true.
Competition
that's
is
exactly my point. That
but I'm arguing my own point, because what I'm telling you is, during the game, I'm every bit as competitive as...
Well,
as
you
are.
Huh? You are.
I think the kids were, too.
I think some of the kids might be. I think what you're going to get is a lot of kids who aren't. You know, I think you're going to get a lot of kids who are like, we don't lose. Who cares? You know, I'm sitting here because mommy made me play anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That's my thought.
All right. 888-463-6748 Double B, who had a storied athletic career joining me today. You competed at the highest levels except high school, college, or pro.
I did go to Niles North.
Quite frankly, your junior high career wasn't that great either.
It was fantastic, actually. We were in the conference championship. Yeah, basketball.
Did you get to play?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. You were the designated screener, right?
No, I was the power forward. I was big on rebounds,
like I
big
said,
on pumping it out, knocked down a lot of little kids.
Used all 5 of your fouls?
Every time. Coach, there's a minute left to play. I didn't use the 5th one. Put me back in. All right.
Ryan, son, We don't need to shoot the ball. We got Eric and David and Tim. But I just want to remind you, Brian, before the game, you got five fouls, my friend. Use them. Now get out there and kill somebody. I mean, have a good game, Brian. All right, let's go out to the phone lines real quick. Can we sneak one in, Dave, before the break? Dave doesn't. He's not even watching.
No, yeah, he's not even listening. He's got another show on in there.
He had a storied career, Dave, too. Pride and joy of Lockport, Illinois.
Where's Lockport?
Our producer, very fine athlete, huh?
Where's Lockport, Illinois?
Right next to Lamont. Now you're going to ask me, where's Lamont?
Exactly.
Stop it. Out to the phone lines we go. Checking in from beautiful, lovely Niles, Illinois. It's caller Alan checking in. Alan!
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, buddy. How are you?
How are you, Alan?
Good. I was actually in on finals, and I started watching the show. And I just wanted to chime in on what Brian and you've been talking about the competition and not keeping score.
It's weird for me to hear you say watching the show, because we've been doing radio for so many years.
Exactly. But, this goes to the webcasting. Yeah. Now, when you say you're in finals.
I'm on the computer right now.
When you're in finals, you're not actually taking finals right now, are you, Alan?
No. I'm on a break right now. All the finals are all done.
You're a teacher, correct? Or a student?
Close enough. I'm an aide in the special ed department.
Back to the aides. Again.
Beautiful.
All right, go on.
All right. So what thoughts you got, Al? We appreciate you checking in.
Oh, well, I know you guys were talking about competition and keeping score in the youth leagues, and I just want to say about how it kind of filters up that mentality is that kids, like nowadays, they winning, losing, it doesn't even faze them. If they lose, no big deal.
Now, what sports do you coach?
I coach volleyball, both boys and girls at the high school level.
It's interesting.
So interesting that you're saying that it's now starting to filter up.
It is. Now, interesting. And this is a little sensitive nerve you hit here. Let me ask you this now, and I agree with that one, by the way. From my experience, kids do not take losing as hard. Part of it, Alan, is these kids have played so much sports over the years compared to we did when we were kids, that when you do it that much, you become, I don't think the winning quite as high or the losing quite as bad. But during the game, Alan, are they less competitive, or are you saying just at the end of it when it's over, they don't take losing maybe as hard as we did back in the day?
Definitely after. You all of a sudden, you just see them just joking around, yucking it up with their friends, it's like, we just had a tough loss.
Okay,
does
so
it matter?
So they're,
you care about how you play.
Now, does that translate into practice the next day? Because I remember you lost, you felt like garbage. The next day, practice was usually twice as bad. Now, does that filter the next day, or are they still kind of joking around and just kind of enjoying their day?
At times.
Or is that up to the coach, really?
Well, I mean, yeah. Obviously, we try to set the tone and what we're going to work on, especially if something didn't go well the day before. But it's just the mentality. You just see it. They're sometimes just going through the motions. Mm-hmm. You don't know if they're joining the sport because their parents made them, they're joining the sport because their friends are on it, or if they're actually joining it because they really like the sport.
Mm-hmm. But either way, after a loss, what you're saying as a high school coach here, some of them can recuperate from that defeat a little bit too quickly, is what I hear you saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't even know they had a competition.
Yeah. So, and this is a big thing I know in football and in high school. I remember our coaches doing this to us. When you lost, you weren't allowed to talk on the bus ride home. Yeah. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah.
Do you have any of that going on, Al?
Freshman, first of all, is very hard. And freshman girls is even harder.
Oh, boy.
Okay, I'll say that right now.
Yeah.
So, no, they're singing the latest craze song, whatever, and yucking it up. It's like, oh, my gosh, I'm getting a headache. The higher level, like varsity, because I do coach the assistant boys varsity, they're a little bit more serious at the higher level up. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, they're more committed to it. They put more time into it.
4 years in, it's your last year. You want to be successful?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's interesting, but you think part of that is the youth sports and the way they've been brought up a little bit without de-emphasizing competition that carries over maybe into high school sports.
Yeah. Right. It's just like, I don't know if it's apathy or what.
Mm-hmm. I see. A pro Bauer.
Yeah.
It's a pro Bauer vote.
Yeah.
Anybody else with a vote? 888-463-6748.
Beautiful. How's finals week going over there, Niles West? The students, today's the final day, right?
Yeah, we are actually done with everything. Woo! So all the kids should be done.
Wow.
And I have the tomorrow off, which will be nice.
Beautiful.
Another day off for teachers.
Day off of school for all the students out there. God bless. Finals a tough week. Alan, we appreciate everything you do as a teacher and a coach, and even more appreciative of the fact that you're tuning into the show, my friend.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Alan.
Thanks, Al. Big Al.
Right, there it is. Alan checking in. You can, too, at 888-463-6748. Game's over. He said they played, you know, or they played fairly hard during the game,
sure.
But when it's over,
yeah.
They're just able to laugh it off too easily.
It's just a loss.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah, see.
Even as a guy who promotes don't be crushed by losing.
Right.
That's
almost when a couple of players on the team who are upset need to start pulling people
especially
aside.
At the high school level. It does need to hurt a little bit. Yeah. You don't need to be crushed.
Right.
It doesn't have to ruin your evening, but you shouldn't snap out of it quite that quick.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And a no-talking rule for freshman girls?
Not going to happen?
Impossible.
I just remember, like, again, I only played on the men's side, though I tried sometimes for the females.
Yeah.
But the fact was, bus rides home after a loss? Yeah. I mean, just crickets. That's all you heard.
Yeah. Well, you spent 3 years, I believe, as a manager of the freshman girls' soccer and volleyball team. How'd that go for it?
Fantastic. They didn't allow me on any road trips.
The 1 year wasn't so bad. I was a little... When you came back from college and applied for that position, that was a little worrisome. All right, we're taking a quick break back for our final segment. YSFanForum@AOL.com. Our email, back in a minute. Bauer, Coach.
The phone lines are open on the Youth Sports Fan Forum. 888-GO-FOR-IT. Once again, here's your host, the coach, John Cone, on TalkZone.com.
All right, I hear that guy say, once again, here's the coach, John Cone. It always sounds like he's tired almost, you know, once again, here's the coach, John Cone. Hopefully he didn't mean it that way, but welcome back. It is the Youth Sports Fan Forum, our final segment here. Every Thursday we do it once a week from 11 till 12 Central Time. And don't forget, we do a show before this each and every day. Two guys and a mic, a loosely based sports talk show. Double B, you are often a co-host for that show. So I want to remind our listeners to tune in for that 10 o'clock till 11 o'clock each and every day. 1 hour a day, 5 days a week. It's still shocking to me that they let us on the radio for that much time.
Well, I'm surprised that one day they give us 2 hours. Like, that just completely blows me away.
Yeah. Well, it's a special day for the Youth Sports Fan Forum.
Just for the youth.
Yeah. And by the way, you mentioned, by the way, you're on. I want to, you know, pick on your dad. Is your dad watching, by the way?
Let's see. Today is Thursday. Maybe. He's in Florida right now, so possibly.
And his name is Eddie Bauer.
Eddie Bauer.
Eddie Bauer Sr.?
No, just Eddie Bauer.
Just Eddie Bauer. All right. Yeah. But no relation to the sporting goods store.
No, if it was, I'd be a much richer man. Yeah.
You wouldn't be sitting here doing a Youth Sports Fan Forum with me.
All right.
Take it easy. Take it easy. But for the Eddie Bowers of the world, Eddie, I'll look at you there at their wave in case you're listening. To all the parents out there, one of the biggest pet peeves for coaches, one of the biggest no-nos, and this also goes to the athlete, don't instruct your kids during the game. That is the word. And for the kids, for the athletes, don't look up in the stands and communicate with your parents during the game. Don't come out at halftime and go over and talk to mom or dad for instructions.
Yeah.
That is one of the worst things. I used to know somebody who played for a high school team. And the coach would videotape all the games. And he would tell the videotaper, you videotape our timeouts too. And he said, and he told the players, he caught any kid during the timeout looking up in the stands.
Yeah.
They are out the next game and they're running a whole bunch of suicides. So, Eddie Bauer Sr., Jr., and all the other parents out there, talk to him before the game, talk to him after the game, during the game, hands off.
Yes, I see your point, and I understand it. I think in most cases, the parent doesn't know more than the coach.
That's not even the point.
I know. It's disrespectful to the coach.
Yes.
I'm in agreement originally with that. My father served as an assistant coach on my youth teams because he was just there. Yeah. So you'd obviously
and
help out.
I admit there are times when the parents, probably like your dad, know more than the volunteer coach.
Now, my father also played on the Illinois Select team that played versus Pelé and the Cosmos here in Chicago when he was 18 years old.
That's
so
pretty
he's,
big
a guy,
time.
He's a guy who played. He got a scholarship to go to East St. Louis University to play. The man knows his soccer. He was born in Europe. He was born in Austria, came here. So he knows his stuff. The only time I remember it being a problem was when I was in high school as my senior year. My first couple of years I played football, and after a nice 1-16 record, it was time to move on. I needed to get a win. Otherwise, I was going to kill somebody. So,
Then you went to DePaul and watched your basketball team lose 4 years in a row.
Actually, when I first – they had just gone through the Quentin Richardson area, so they were doing okay. But my father, I remember him in the sidelines of my high school team. Now, our high school coach was Coach Colson, who no longer is with Niles North, but he was the – marketing and business teacher. And when I say he wasn't up to soccer, his assistant coach, Tex, was much better. But he really did not know his X's
and O's. So the head coach probably filling a spot that the school couldn't fill,
right.
Volunteers as the head soccer coach.
Yes.
Meanwhile, Eddie Bauer is sitting in the stands, who has played against Pele
yeah.
at a high level of soccer.
Exactly.
So I see a problem of brewing.
So let me just say, the first three games, I played three different positions. This is after 2 days for 2 weeks. Everybody should know where they're at. But our problem was, the coach felt, well, yeah, Bauer, you're better than the guy over here. Let's move you here. Okay, we have a problem with this hole, Bauer. We're going to move you there. All right, we have a problem with this hole. But every time you move me, there's another hole, you know, so there's an issue. So my father would go completely insane because, first of all, he wondered how a guy who had played forward most of his life wound up being a defenseman. And then he wondered how I ever became a halfback because I was too lazy to run back and forth the whole full length of the field.
Back then they were called halfbacks, not midfielders.
Midfielders now, right, exactly. So there was a lot that would drive my dad crazy over the course of a game. So after a while, it just became, coach would yell one thing, father would yell another. Coach would yell one thing, father would yell another. And it was a cycle that got to the point where you're just like, I'm going to not listen to anybody and do whatever I want to do. That way it's just my own fault.
Did the yelling that was bouncing off the field at some point, did it go a little bit higher and then the direct yelling back and forth?
No, never back and forth.
My
father never yelled at the coach.
Yeah,
no.
God bless.
He was very loud and vocal with myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the greatest moment of that season would be our postseason award ceremony. We had it at a nice restaurant. And my father and I both went. And, you know, we got our food, we got our awards, all the guys talked, we had a great time. And my father, when he left, walks up to the coach and shakes his hand and says, you know what? You know, for a lot of these guys, you did a lot of good. He's like, but I've got some great coaching tapes that I'm going to come by school and drop off for you. Because he's like, from a fundamental standpoint, you're fine, but you're mixing a few things on the X's O's that you really need to hit.
Mm-hmm.
And he walked away. And I looked back, and the look on the coach's face was just that dumbfounded. Did he just really say that to me? Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of thing. So,
well, and you know what? I don't know the text or the tone upon which it was done, but I will tell you.
It was actually really pleasant, which was kind of funny.
Yeah. You know, and if you're strong enough in your own ego and you're confident enough in yourself, then you have no problem learning from others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, it's the tone. If it was said in a respectable tone, you know, you pick up on that because – most of the great coaches will tell you very few of their ideas are their own.
Oh, sure.
I think most coaches take no embarrassment at all from copying good ideas from other coaches.
And I would hope not. I think that's the way it should be.
Yeah.
I mean, any time I've ever had to do any coaching of any kind, first I look back on everything I was taught and how I was coached and the things I liked and didn't like. And then I go on from there. There's mm-hmm. nothing wrong with going to a videotape, a DVD, a book, you know, just to pick somebody else's brain or talking to other coaches. I think mm-hmm. it's a great idea.
Or if you go back to your playing career, you could show tapes and, you know, what not to do with some of the teams you've been on.
Well, you know, how not to use all five fouls in a single game, that kind of thing. But if you look back on it, like, I think now sports are getting a little more regulated to a point where coaches are kind of being washed out of that craziness. Mm-hmm. I know youth football in America now has a parent organization and makes them all go through coaching clinics. Mm-hmm. I know that IYSA, Illinois Youth Soccer Association, is now affiliated with the AYSO, mm-hmm. which is the American Youth Soccer Organization. So you not only have to coach a certain way and you're taught a certain way, you have to get registered and leveled up. So mm-hmm. like if you're a D-level coach, you're at the bottom, a C-level coach, you can coach a certain age group, and you move up from there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of, with all the regulations and now the formats, I think they're getting a lot better with
no
it.
No question. Yeah. The training of coaches is much, much better. In fact, last week we had David Jacobson on as a special guest from a group called Positive Coach Alliance.
Okay.
And I'm hoping I get the website correct, positivecoachalliance.org, but you know, they do coaching training programs.
Right.
You would not like some of their messages because it's, what do they call it? The double goal. The double goal. Winning is one of the goals.
Right.
But it shouldn't be the only goal. We're not going to get into that because that's sensitive.
No, go on. No, I'm for it. But here's the thing. It's not that I'm against winning and losing. It's got to be. I just think you could teach more from the losing aspect than you could ever teach from the winning.
Well, and the double goal was part of it is you could still have a successful experience even though your team or you individually lost a game. So it's a double goal.
Okay.
Not just a single goal of winning determines mm-hmm. the success or the lack of success. You can still have quote unquote success. See, I'm getting at you right now.
I was going to say, if I was at the coaching meeting,
uh-huh.
I would be the parent with the hand up.
I should have had you at the Positive Coaching Alliance, David Jacobson and company, but we'll get him back on and get some other guests over the time in the Youth Sports Fan Forum. You mentioned the pain of losing, and we all know that. I have also discovered, and it happens every year when I coach kids, and I know kids in other teams that are injured.
Yeah.
And have to sit out.
Yeah, that's a learning
lesson as well.
But
what I'm saying, Brian, is losing is bad. Losing is tough. We're all competitive. We play in sport. Losing is tough, but much worse than losing. Much worse than losing. Losing is not the worst thing. Not being able to participate, that is the worst thing. When you're an athlete and you got to sit and watch, then you know real pain.
Yeah.
Not being able to compete, that's much worse than losing.
Well, what's worse is when you think you're injured and you're not. I mean, that to me, like, and I know this is an odd situation, but as a freshman, I played on the freshman A team, and I played both ways football.
Mm-hmm.
I played offense, defense, and actually special teams as well. And I was speared in the back after catching a ball. I was lower back, and I didn't wear the flak jacket, whatever. So out of precaution, they held me out for 2 weeks. Now, when you're not even injured, and it's just a precautionary method, which is smart of the coaches.
So what you're saying is you felt fine, but the trainers would not let you play.
They would not. The coaches wouldn't let me play either. They said until the 2 weeks is up, whatever the doctor said.
I'm going to guess Eddie Bauer Sr. is saying, forget those trainers, get out there and play.
I saw him yesterday lift something at the house, he's fine.
It's only a minor concussion,
right.
Get out there.
It wasn't even concussion, it was lower back, but they were worried, because obviously lower back's very important.
Yeah.
So they held me out. That 2 weeks of not being able to do anything, not even participate in drills, as a kid, that's the worst thing in the world. That is the time where you're sitting there and you're picking at the grass and you want to go out and you want to do something, so much so that the game after that I was back, two face mask penalties in a row because I was just so overhyped. I jumped over a running back and grabbed the quarterback by the face mask because I was just completely too juiced to be out there.
Mm-hmm.
It was unbelievable.
So the message is, and again, a couple of minutes left here. If you want to chime in, you can get in real quick at 888-463-6748. Remember, every Thursday at 11 o'clock, different topics, youth sports fan forum. You can always check out our website, ysfanforum.com. All kinds of stuff on there. But the message is, Brian, that, you know, if you're on a losing team, it's tough. It is tough, but, okay, you're still playing.
Right.
You're still competing, and coaches, you can relay this message to your players. Hey, sitting out, not being able to compete is the worst thing. Maybe you don't have the money to get in a particular league. Maybe you're injured. Maybe you can't join. If you're part of a team and you're competing in whatever sport it is, I understand losing's tough. I've been there and it's not fun, but appreciate every moment because you got your health and you're still on a team and you're still competing. Never underestimate that great privilege.
That, and when you're young, I like the concept of everybody plays, because I think there's too much time when you're an adult. I remember this poor kid, you know, for all the years that we played together in junior high and high school, he would always make the team but never play. He was always on the end of the bench. So you felt bad for that guy. I mean, that guy always bothered.
I mean, we could do a whole show on playing time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So as a youth coach, I think very important to make sure that happens. Let everybody play.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, Double B, I know it was short notice. I appreciate your filling in. We were going to have the national director of the Coaches Association of America.
Yeah, what do you need that guy for?
We couldn't get him, so instead we got a man with a 1-16 career at high school football at Niles North.
Fantastic. If it was a loss, we had it.
We appreciate it. David Olson, our producer, our 16 interns on the other side of the glass.
Lots of them.
Actually, just one guy wandering aimlessly. I have no idea who he is.
He's very large, though, so he can cover 16.
Yes, he is. I don't think he's an intern, though. We thank you for listening. Have a great day out there, everybody. Next Thursday, we'll do it again. Don't forget, two guys and a mic.
Tomorrow.
10 o'clock Central Time, each and every day here on the TalkZone.com. Have a great day, everybody.
Bye-bye.